Welcome to a new edition of the Neon Jazz Interview Series with New Orleans-based jazz vocalist Anna Laura Quinn. We caught up with her about her latest sophomore 2022 CD called Open the Door. She's originally from San Francisco, but this New Orleans-based singer has a tasty blend of contemporary jazz, well-loved tunes from the American Songbook, French and Brazilian music, and it's all delivered with style, sensitivity, and a great amount of mystique of a bygone era. She's got a great story. Enjoy.
Great. How are you today?
I'm good. Thanks for taking a minute out for the show. I appreciate it.
Oh, of course.
Before we get into Open the Door, I want to know, you know, now that, you know, we're still going through the rigors of COVID. It's been a very strange time since March of 2020. This album has to be a relief to put out now.
It definitely is. It's actually, it feels a little bit like something I've been carrying with me throughout the whole pandemic process. And, like, I think I feel just super ready to put it out into the world. But I initially recorded six tunes right before the pandemic, like 2 weeks before. If you listen to the album, there's like six full ensemble tunes. Those were recorded before the pandemic. So I was kind of working with those, you know, editing and doing post-production on those. And I think that having the opportunity to then, like, sort of use the emotional experience of the pandemic to like generate a few more, some other work to add to the album also felt really good in the end, because there's three extra tunes two are vocal arrangements that I wrote for myself, and one is a duo with my guitarist Ed. And just having, I think that it was like a good opportunity to sort of like give, like, flesh out the experience and just sort of like my emotional experience of the pandemic a little bit more, and give, I think, a more complete narrative of the album.
So yeah, this is your sophomore release. Do you feel like you've kind of put that debut behind you and this is a whole other chapter of you moving on into?
Yeah, I do feel like that. I was actually listening to some songs from the first album to get ready for a show that I did a couple weeks ago, and I was like, wow, that was such a whole different experience. It felt, even though, you know, conceptualized that album and I did a lot of work to make that happen. I've just been like wearing so many more hats on this album and like had my hands on a lot more of the process and a lot more opinions, like when it was coming to the arrangements are all, you know, my original arrangements that are a little bit more complex. And then also just having the full, like, artwork and the mixing and just really being super involved in a new way that was super educational to me to be able to just, like, work in all of those different ways to make this happen. I have just such a deep sense of, like, ownership of the whole process.
This album probably ushers in a sense of renewal that hopefully the planet will start feeling more here in 2022. And I'm curious, during this time of quarantine lockdown, what did you learn about yourself that maybe you didn't realize before that will make you stronger as you get out and promote this and perform live, hopefully?
Well, I think a big thing I learned was from having a long period of silence. There was like long stretches of time, you know, like weeks where I wouldn't really sing, or my relationship to singing just was like very different when it wasn't, and, you know, when I wasn't sort of like in a space of preparing for a gig or like, you know, using it as like what I do for performing. And so it was really interesting to, because I was kind of like going into, I felt like my career was kind of like on this, like, I felt an upswing right before the pandemic, and then it was just like a hard stop. So I was just sort of like had to go through a bit of a mourning period and also just like spending so much time by myself, like I said, like kind of just not singing. It was interesting to then witness or feel my voice can actually be strengthened a little bit by the emotional experience of the lockdown and quarantine and like all of the various layers of sort of emotional reckoning, I would say, that the pandemic brought forth. And so even though I wasn't like singing in the way that I had been like becoming accustomed to, I felt that, you know, now that I'm sort of getting back into singing and performing and using my voice like in a more public way, like it's available to me and it's like showing up in like even stronger. And I think it's just because like I could maybe attribute it to having that period of silence and like coming out and just feeling like a new sense of freedom to sing and a freedom in my instrument and in my expression. But I think that has had to do a lot with like a lot of the emotional work that was done during that time of like a lot of seclusion and solitude.
Talk to me a little bit about how all of this began for you. How did you get the bug to get into music, you know, jazz specifically, or have you always been from New Orleans?
No, I'm actually from San Francisco. I grew up in San Francisco, and I lived in New York City for 6 years, where I did my undergrad in visual art. Today, actually, is my 12-year anniversary of moving to New Orleans, so I moved... I moved cool. here 12 years ago today, and I did not begin performing seriously until about 5 years into my life in New Orleans. So I guess it would be 2015 was when I moved here with a sense of like that I wanted to sing and that I wanted to play music, and I had sort of started planting some seeds in New York, but I was not confident. I didn't really have like physical community in New York, but I just knew that there was something in there. And so when I moved to New Orleans, I had an idea of like wanting to perform, but it didn't really like catch for a long time because I was also involved in visual art, and I got involved with a lot more creative visual artists here when I first moved here. I would go back and forth to San Francisco, where I'm from, and I started sitting in with a band there called the Americano Social Club, which is a band led by a bass player and mandolinist named Michael Zisman. And he sort of like gave me a space to start singing in front of people and sort of getting a little more confident about that. And after a little while, when I would be there, you know, if their featured vocalist was out of town, like they would hire me for their gigs to sing on their gigs. And then eventually I like recorded a couple tunes with them, and it all started feeling really good to do that. But at the same time, it was like very focused in the Bay Area and like not really happening in New Orleans, which was, I was just after a while wondering why that was, it was like that, because New Orleans is just such a musical place and like a wonderful place to be a performer. And so I think it just took like a moment of clarity that I just needed to like really shift my energy completely to singing. And to, I just kind of had like a moment where I was like, this is what I need to do. This is how I need to spend my time and what I need to devote myself to. And that sort of ended up with me finding out about the jazz studies program at University of New Orleans. And so I just made a big shift. It was like the beginning of 2016. It was like I just made that decision, and I started pursuing it, and I went to the school, and you know, I was super green at the time. I didn't really know anything about band leading at all. And my voice was a lot smaller than it is now, and less confident, but had such great exposure to instrumentalists at University of New Orleans. I was actually like the only vocalist for a lot of the time that I was there, which, you know, had its ups and downs. But I think when I've been reflecting on it, it was actually like just really great to be thrown in with a lot of instrumentalists and just work with them and learn their language and, like, you know, adopt it as my own. And so I think that, and then also be offered a lot of wonderful performing opportunities through that program. They have a really great visiting artist program and concert series in the fall and spring. And so I performed a whole lot. And it was just like, you know, just a very great engine for me to get everything, get myself going and have some accountability to, like, a cohort of people and just some discipline around it. And it was kind of exactly what I needed. And now it is, it's still what I need. And I'm doing it outside the school because I've graduated last year.
So yeah. What do you like the best about this job as a professional musician? What do you look forward to the most?
Interesting. I think that it's like a really, it's a cool way for me to apply a lot of the, like, my whole range of skills as a, you know, for sure as a vocalist, but also as a visual artist and sort of like creating like a larger kind of like visual experience for people and creating artwork that's associated with the music and with the show. And also I love sort of like being a hostess, and I feel kind of like being a band leader is like a little bit like hosting the people on the stage with me and like creating an experience that they'll really enjoy as well. And that brings everybody's, that lifts up everybody's talents along, you know, and highlights each of them as individuals, and then, but also like brings together the collective. I think that I was initially drawn to sing, but I was afraid of the collaboration aspect of it and being with other people and having to sort of like engage and assert myself in the role of the band leader. And now I think that it's something that I've really grown into and that I've learned to really love. And so I just continue to find joy in interpreting music and like having people and calling on people to help me bring a vision to life. And I would say that this album has been just the craziest experience of just really trying to bring the right people into the work with me. And I've just found, you know, and there's so many elements of bringing an album together. I had honestly no idea until I really did it this time, of like bringing, you know, the right person in for the mixing and like bringing the people in for making the album artwork. And of course the musicians, bringing each person in and like sort of producing the sessions and making sure everybody's voice gets heard. And now on this label, and, you know, everybody's like, there's such a specific role for everybody. And it, for me, it's just sort of like I'm at the center of it all. And it can be overwhelming, but it's also like so cool to see it all come together. And so I look forward to continuing to be that person at the sort of like making it happen, and seeing how I can do it a different way next time. I feel like no two albums will ever be the same. And also, I think that the opportunities that I'm hoping will arise for performing are also very exciting to me, because I think that it will afford me so many opportunities to meet more people and to just connect over music with more people and find out even more about what I love to play, you know?
So everyone has a perception of you, your family, your friends, your fans, but ultimately you live your life. You have a perception mm-hmm. of you. Who do you think you are?
That's an interesting question. It's it's carnival time here in New Orleans. It's like getting on toward Mardi Gras, and it's definitely a cool time to reflect on the self and how I project myself into the world through the everyday encounters, but also through like kind of the fantasy of carnival and Mardi Gras. And so I've been thinking about it. I feel like I continue to kind of surprise myself. I have an idea of myself that's sort of old as being like a shy person. And I think that it's something that's totally a shy and sort of like introverted person. And I think that there is an element of that that's true. And I'm somebody that is like very, I feel very nourished by spending time alone and by being with myself. But I think that the way that music has like kind of necessitated for me to be on, you know, sort of in front of people and in front of a band and like working with people, it's brought out something very natural for me. Like I said, kind of like this hostess, kind of this person that's like a leader. I don't want, maybe not even like a leader, but like, I don't know. It's kind of like a spell casting or something.
Yeah.
And so I think that having this sort of like, it's allowed me to own kind of like this duality of myself a little bit and just feel that, and also like other dualities within myself, which is sort of like I feel very extremely drawn to radiate joy in music, like just be, I always want to be perceived as like singing from a place of like joy and awareness of like freedom and that I have in my body to do what I do. But I also like, I really like to dive into other emotions very deeply. And I like songs about heartbreak, and I like songs that sort of express angst or neuroses, or, you know, those are all very like real parts of myself and of people, you know? And so I think that I see myself as a person of like many faces. It all kind of like comes back to like a sense of joy for me. And that's what I sort of cling to, I'd say, in music, is that sense of making a joyful noise for people and allowing them to sort of like feel through my feelings, I guess, feel into the music.
That's a great way to wrap everything up. Thank you for taking a minute out today for Neon Jazz, and good luck with everything.
Yeah, thank you so much, Joe.
Thanks for listening and tuning in to another Neon Jazz interview, where we give you a bit of insight into the finest singers in San Francisco, New Orleans, Kansas City, and spots all over the globe, giving fans all that jazz. Thanks to Anna for her time, energy, and music. If you want to hear more interviews, go to Famous Interviews with Joe Domino in the iTunes Store. Visit neonjazz at youtube.com. And for everything Neon Jazz all the time, go to theneonjazz.blogspot.com. And until next time, enjoy the jazz, my friends.
Neon Jazz.